Lord, thank you. This moment belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Ephesians 4. I ought to know that already. I want to touch on something different. A lot of times I don't give out when I'm delivering a message, which is a lesson. I don't really give out titles too much because sometimes people hear key words in the title and then they begin to shut down and think that they know what you're about to say or what you're about to talk about. And one of the number one ways to really yield more from God from within is to never be commonplace or familiar with anything about God. I don't care how long you've been in church, how many lessons you've heard, how many messages, how many times you had hands laid on you, how much oil you done got put on you, how many times you've been ordained, all that good stuff. I don't care about any of that. You never take the Holy Spirit in commonplace. We do it a lot. Many of us did it today. We didn't acknowledge him much because we just knew he was there. We just woke up with him, and you might have prayed a little bit, but in every specific moment of the day, was he acknowledged? If not, then you just become common with him and with Christ in you and with God in you. Many people are looking for miracles, and they don't know they are the miracle. You know, you're looking for a manifestation when you are the manifestation. You're looking for a promise when you are the promise. You're looking for an answer when you are the answer. Whenever we can graduate from grasping to understanding who we are from the inside, that's when we'll start making progress. And it takes a little time when we've been taught so much to grab or receive or to look for something from the outside. Although Jesus says, they say, where's the kingdom of God? You say, low here, low there. No, there's one verse that really signifies everything and it kind of brings it all in the middle. And I don't know how we don't justify the scripture, but he says, low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's all on the inside. I come to the conclusion, this may be a little side journey, but it's not a side journey because it goes along with what I'm saying. But I've come to the conclusion that majority of the battle that you deal with, you know, we believe God for things, or we look for manifestation, or we're trying to accomplish things, or we're trying to, you say we want to get to know God more, right? And we want to become more intimate with the Lord and different things of that nature. Greater is he that is. Where? In me. So everybody say in me. So as greater is he that is in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus that dwell in you, shall he not also quicken your mortal bodies on the inside? Lo here, under the kingdom of God as well, within you, right? The power that worketh what? In you, right? All right, we got all that. So it's in you. Everybody say in me. All right, so it's in me. And so I've come to the conclusion that, and the Lord told me about a year ago, and I might not even be that long. I'm not too good with, you know, judging how far back he told me, you know, something. But he said, you know, you can trust your thoughts a little bit more because you don't have anything else going in but me. Or the way that I think about things. You know, he told me that. He said, you can trust your thoughts some. You can trust your thoughts some now because you don't have any ulterior motives or anything from the outside affecting what's going on the inside. So really the biggest part of the battle, you know, eat the word. And that's good. Praise God. Keep eating the word because we never stop doing that. I noticed that a lot of times people are studying law, but just because they become a lawyer don't mean they stop studying law. It just gives them the enablement to be something. All right. But you never stop. You never stop studying law. Like they study medicine, but just because you are a doctor, you never stop studying. You always be a student. We're going to be this way till either Jesus come get us or we go to be with him. All right. But one of the number one ways, and and it's so easy, is just to monitor, and I only say monitor, to take command over your intake. What you're listening to, what you're watching. I know the show might be a little simple, but the enemy slip little things in. I'm not saying shows are the devil, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying, I'm going to tell you something in a minute, worldly music and gospel music and worldly music. Well, all of us are worldly. Why? Because where we at? Okay. So it's not that, but you have to be mindful of what is trying to slip in on you to get you to forget who you really are from the inside. You want to get more acquainted with God, get acquainted with him from the inside. If you try to get acquainted with it on the outside, that can be taken. How many times we've been taken? Huh? All right, come on. All right, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Okay, how many times you done got angry and out of sorts when you weren't supposed to? How many times you done got depressed or you're self-conscious, right? Or worried or fearful, and not the fear alone, I'm talking about the bad fear, right? And now, how many times we let that happen? It's because you were taken from the outside. So that stuff on the outside can be taken from you. Why you don't put your wedding ring? Why you don't put your jewelry? Why you don't put your nice clothes outside on the lawn at night? Come on, let's do it tonight. Let's do it tonight. Come on, tonight. Come on, think about the most valuable thing that you got. You know what I'm saying? Some of you got children, right? Let children sleep on the outside tonight. Why don't you let that happen? Because you know that the protection and the power and everything you need is on the inside. Your breaker box is in your house. The power that's running your house is on the inside. It's not on the, y'all understand what I'm saying? Everything is from the inside. All right? And so we've got to listen. We can do a lot of different things. And what I'm going to talk about in a minute is really going to kind of shake this loose. We can do a lot of different things, but we've got to settle some facts on the inside. There will be no unusual church. You will not be unusual church if you cannot settle some of the proper things on the inside. You can do all the jargon. You can jump through all the hoops. You can hear all, I'll say it again, you can go through all the messages. You can go to all the ordination services. You can go to all the holy consecrations. You can go to prayer, and you can be at prayer every morning on church for church. Every Wednesday night, you can be early for prayer. You can be sitting through the whole service. You can be a great giver. You can do all these things and still fail. You know it as a fact, don't you? Because you done everything right and still didn't get right. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. The first rule is the acknowledgement. And the first rule is that, all right, come on, let me, I got to be real with myself, all right? And when you do that, it's not you're not throwing shade on God, right? You're not throwing shade on God. He really wants you to own up. I can imagine God saying, would you please own up? Would you please stop trying to cover yourself so that I can really show you yourself? Adam and Eve in the garden, and they went hid, put fig leaves on, and then went hid. He said, why are you hiding from me? He said, because we was naked. Well, who told you that? You're trying to cover yourself. Trying to cover yourself. That's over. And really, really, that concept is at an all-time high in, I have to stop using the term the church, in organized religion. I'm trying to find another in the four walls, right? It is at an all-time high, and so because it's at an all-time high, deliverance is at an all-time low. You won't allow yourself to be delivered. I'm not talking about get delivered, be delivered. You know, you already are delivered, but you won't even allow yourself because we're covering so much stuff up. Am I telling you come in and start telling the whole church all your faults and your shortcomings? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we've got to search on the inside and find out the truth of what God is saying and the truth of who God is, which means the truth of who you are from the inside. Are y'all with me? So here we are, I'll jump here in a minute, but we're back to Ephesians 4, right? I've been looking for and I think I found one. I'm looking for a Bible with no numbers. And no chapters and no number separations. You know, the Bible wasn't originally written with chapters and numbers. I don't know if King James did it. I don't know if they did it. I don't know who down the line from the time the Bible started being written up until now, who put chapters and numbers. And I appreciate them, so I'm not talking crazy. I appreciate the fact that I can tell you, go to Ephesians 4, and I can key into the scripture that I want. That's a blessing and a curse sometimes. Because sometimes I can tell you to go to verse 15 and not even know what 1 through 15 says and take 15 out of context. We do it all day long, don't we? Don't we take a scripture and we start standing on this scripture. How you going to stand on that scripture, not the passage? How you get to stand on that scripture, but not the whole context of where that scripture was said? So you lose. Are y'all seeing me? I appreciate the fact that I can tell you, go to Ephesians 4 and verse 13 or whatever, and you know exactly where to go. But I'm looking for a Bible. I think I found one. It's called a reader's Bible. So the Bible will read just like a book. It'll read just like you read another book. And I think in reading that way, sometimes I can pick up context better because I don't stop. I don't stop between chapter 3 and chapter 4, so I know that this was all one letter. You get it? I realize, like, I can realize the flow. I mean, it's just like me talking right now. Like, you can realize the flow. Like, if you stop what I'm saying right now and you have to wait until wherever to get the next finish of the sentence, it'll kind of throw you off. Even the commas, and it just makes me understand things a little better, all right? So I'm just going to do that, but I'm saying that to say Ephesians 4, and it starts off verse 1, says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, right? Y'all see that? All right, but I cannot go there, right? And I cannot start talking about that and anything after that until I jump up to chapter 3, right? Because it's going on from there. Y'all seeing me? Y'all understand what I'm saying right now, right? So, yeah, we jump in chapter 4, we read the whole chapter 4, we make chapter 4 the language, but we miss chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I'm not going to read chapter 1, 2, and 3 for time's sake. That's on your own study time. We got enough to do in this word to find out about our own lives. This Bible's talking about your life. It's not talking about, it's not giving you a bunch of rules and things you're supposed to do. It's telling you about who you are. It's telling about your being, all right? So now, let's jump back up to chapter 3, just to end on. We'll backtrack a little bit, and I don't really have time to go to everything. But verse 14 starts an amazing prayer. Sometimes we just stop on the prayer and we don't even read anything else in the chapter and where the prayer comes from. But we'll start anyway. Verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know the cause, you read further up and you'll see that cause, for this cause. All right. But we don't have time to go back up. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What family? The whole family, right? Of the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Listen to what it's saying. Be strengthened with might by his spirit. Where? Where? In the inner man. You see that big S? So now you're strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. Come on, slow that down for a minute. Be strengthened with might by his spirit. But you can't be strengthened with might by his spirit nowhere else but the inner man. If you're trying to get strength by his spirit from the outer man, that ain't how he work. Many times as church, we're looking for all of these things to manifest in front of our eyes, but it's not seeing, it's believing. Jesus is talking about blessed that can see it and believe it, instead of just having that can believe it without seeing it, instead of having to see it to believe it. Are y'all hearing me? He says that's a better belief. And so now we live these lives, church, as a church. Say, I am church.
I am church.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am church.
I am church.
Come on, say it again. I am church.
I am church.
We live these lives looking for all these things on the outside when all these things are on the inside. You'll be strengthened with might by his spirit where? In the inner man. Ain't nowhere else. Ain't nowhere else. Not going to strengthen you on the outside. What happens on the outside is only a result of what happens on the
inside.
That you may be to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. Read it.
Christ.
Who?
Christ.
All right, may do what?
Christ.
Where?
In your hearts.
All right, come on, y'all. This is an inside gospel. The Bible is an inside working. It ain't nothing on the outside, it's inside. Every time you're on the outside, you outside of what God's plan is. God's will, you want to be in God's will? You are God's will. Come on, say, I am.
I am.
Come on, say it, say, I am.
I am.
Come on, say it again, say, I am.
I am.
God's will.
God's will.
See, can you see the disconnect? No, y'all answer me for a second. Can y'all see the disconnect? Can you see you've been trying to find out the will of God and you've been going to sleep and living with it? Hold on. Come on, y'all. Come on. You ever look for something that was in your pocket?
Yeah.
One time I was looking for my phone. I was on it. So no, I'm walking around and I'm talking. I say, man, I'm looking for my phone. I can't find my phone nowhere. How crazy that is. How crazy. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'll show you what the world doing to us. What the world. I'll show you what those that don't understand are doing. Because I don't understand this. I don't understand why what this looks like. Man, I wish I had a phone. Man, if I just had a phone, I'd get in touch with whoever I need to get in touch with. Man, if I get my hands on a phone, I don't understand. I don't understand what that looks like. To me, I'm going to be like, yo, you know what? You a little nutty. Something is wrong with you. You tripping. I may even try to help you, even though you're supposed to be the one helping me. I may be like, hey, you need a little help or something? Like, you knew you own your phone, right? I don't understand what that looks like, all right? When you're up here screaming for something and you already got it. Not only you got it, but it's right there. Thanks, Holy Spirit. Before I read this, I'll go whichever you want to. Hearts by faith, right? Y'all see that? Read the next line. Come on, keep going. Being. Everybody say being. See, I'm reading slow because y'all have read all these scriptures before, but you was missing your whole point. Notice I said missing your whole point. You're missing who you are because you done read through it and you thought you knew it. You was praying a prayer instead of understanding who you are. Are y'all seeing me? That you, and it makes a point. Come on, y'all. Are y'all with me, please? Please tell me. Just say you're with me. Even if you ain't with me, lie to me so I can keep going. Say I'm with you. Say I'm with you. Come on, say it again. Say I am with you. Listen. That you. I ain't got to go no further. Who are you talking to? Huh? Okay, so he ain't talking about nothing else, right? He's saying, I specify. Not y'all. You know how we talk down here, right? Or you all, if you want to be proper. Right? That you being, not acting, not doing, being, that's your nature. Rooted, y'all see that? And grounded, there go that word again, the two-letter word again, in. That shows you where it's at, huh? In, right? Not out, not on. There's been something he said rooted and grounded on. He didn't say that. He said rooted and grounded. Right? And what's that last word? Let me read you something about that four-letter word, love. And I read it in this book that I'm starting, and it says when pagans, you know, pagans are, this is an old quote, so they're talking about pagans are people who don't believe in Jesus Christ or don't believe in God the Father like we do. It says, when pagans hear from our lips the oracles of God, listen to what I'm saying, they marvel at their beauty and their greatness. Are y'all hearing me? Afterwards, when they discover that our actions are not worthy of our utterances. In other words, when they find out, when they hear the gospel or hear the word of God preached from us in such eloquence, they are amazed. But afterwards, when they see that our actions are not worthy of what we're saying, they don't match up. Afterwards, when they discover that our actions are not worthy of our utterances, they betake themselves to blasphemy, declaring that it is all myth and delusion. So now you're non-lining up as a being with your words, give somebody the right to call the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus and everything that God done a myth and a delusion. They call it blasphemy. And we give them a right because our actions aren't worthy of the utterances that we're making. But we know how to make utterances though. Come on, church people, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, y'all. We know how to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We know how to. Hey, bless the Father. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all know him. Y'all know about it. I start letting y'all. Y'all going to start letting them fly. Y'all pull out the gun. Pop, 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 pop. Y'all start shooting all the colloquials and all the slogans. And I'm not knocking those things. There's a power in saying glory to God. But there's a power in it when your action lines up to the glory. Where's the glory? In me. But we rattle them up. I rattle them up better than all y'all. I'll get it going right quick. I'll get it going and you think it's the power. I get it going. You think it's the Spirit of the Lord in the room. And your emotions get riled up. When they hear from us that God says, it is to no credit to you if you love those who love you, but it is merit to you if you love your enemies and those who hate you. We heard that before, right? Right? He said, in other words, everybody can love somebody that love them. But it's a real deal. Jesus always went up. The real deal when you can love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you. Are y'all hearing me, right? When they hear us say that, it said, when they hear that, they marvel at such surpassing kindness. Like they are amazed. See, those that don't understand like we do or don't believe like we do because they hadn't heard like they should hear, they marvel. Like, how do you, wow, that's an amazing statement. Like, I for the life of me, when I started studying Jesus as me, I started realizing that the point that he was making was me. like the whole thing that he was trying to show me was me. Like, he wasn't trying to show me a religion or Episcopalian or Methodist or Catholic or Word of Faith or Baptist or Kojic or all these different things. He wasn't trying to show me any of that. He was trying to show me. When I started studying Jesus as me, like showing me who I am, when I started doing that, then I fell in love over again. Like, because I don't really know if I was loving him at first. I was doing everything I should have done. But I don't really know if I was, like, really, like, in love with him from the inside. Are y'all hearing me? But when I did that, I started seeing him. And I didn't see him as some super guy that came down here and died on the cross and shed some blood and said some cool things and did some cool miracles. And now he went back. And now because he did all that, you know what I'm saying? I can just keep calling his name and he can keep coming doing stuff for me. Because that wasn't his goal. Because he said, the works that I do. Jesus, come here. And he said, you do it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Scream out, Jesus. What? I can imagine. What? What? Why? What? You keep calling? What? What do you want? You do it. What you keep asking me for? I gave it to you already. And I came to the conclusion, I know y'all have to bear with me for a second, but I'm wondering, I look at Jesus and I start hearing what Jesus saying. Jesus said, pray for your enemy. You know, love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. If they ask you for a coat, give them your cloak also. If they sue you for your coat, give them a cloak. He said, if they ask you to go a mile, go two with them. He starts saying, he said all these different things. And he began to say, this is a big one. And I don't, he said, I don't condemn you. I never condemn you. You condemn yourself, I never condemn you. I said, I'm going to love you. Oh, then. What love is this that a man will lay down his life for a friend? He didn't say for a brother or a sister or a kin folks, a husband, a wife, or whatever. He said for a friend. And then the beauty of Jesus was that he had the audacity to say these things and then be exactly what he was saying. The man, one of the man's last words on the cross after being beaten, betrayed by the people that he was there to deliver. And some of those in that crowd had miracles. And some of those that was in that crowd, what you realize, the only one you heard about was Peter out of the disciples. The only one that was written about, the other ones was around there too. And they let it happen. And yet the man gets up on the cross, and we could say a bunch of other things. I know we'd have probably said, curse y'all in the name of me, if he was Jesus. But the man had the audacity and the presence of mind, the presence of mind, the audacity and the presence of love on the inside of him, knowing exactly what he was there for, to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Well, no, I can't say you don't know what you're doing because I'm looking at you. You're beating me. You took a spear out and stuck me in my side. You knew what you were doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But he put the crown of thorns. They've been making fun since I got here. He denied me. He looked at me in my face and denied me. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If that ain't love, I don't know what it is. And I started thinking. I started lining all these things up. put that together and put that together. And I saw you opening the eyes and he people rising up from the dead and he crying when Lazarus died, but still went got him and all these different things. And I said, whoa, what is going on? Why wouldn't somebody love this man? Why is it that somebody wouldn't give his life for somebody like that? It's a disconnect. Why could that man and his being be brought up in front of a man or a woman? I don't care what race, what creed, what background, what problems they have, what misunderstandings. I don't understand why that lifestyle can be brought up in front of somebody and they don't fall utterly in love with it. There's a problem. It ain't Jesus. It ain't the Christ. It's the lack thereof in us. We keep trying to point to Jesus and not be Jesus. Come heal me, Jesus. I did my part while I was here. I told y'all how to do it. Heal yourself. Come save us, Jesus. How many times do you want me to come? Show me the way, Jesus. You are the way. It's already in you. It's amazing. I got to go back to what he's saying. He said, when they hear that, they marvel at this surpassing kindness. Right now, even the way I just said it and described it just now, it's a marvelous thing. Got you rethinking if you love him or not, huh? Like, I need to love him a little deeper. Don't you feel like that right now? I know because of the past. I know. You feel like maybe I don't love him deep enough. That's amazing. I wasn't even thinking about it like that. That you feel that right now. I know you do. Just imagine somebody who's never heard this. So we become dull and numb because we're familiar and we got used to all the colloquials. Or we become dull and familiar with the scriptures. And we don't go all the way to Jesus. John 5:39. They marvel at this. It's a marvelous thing. It said they marvel at the surpassing kindness. Like, this kindness is, like, you shouldn't even be doing. You don't realize I did you wrong just now? You don't realize I just sued you? And you did extra. Sue you for $1 million. Say, here, look, take two. Y'all ain't got that in y'all. You ain't got it in you. You ain't got, look, if somebody sue you for $100, you ain't giving them two. You ain't got it in you. And we barely be tipping sometimes. Hey, man, I ain't going to get in y'all pockets. I'm getting nothing nobody. For God so. And then what's the next thing? This is some surpassing kindness. When they hear that, they marvel at the surpassing kindness. But when they see that we fail to love not only those who hate us, but even those who love us, they deride us, and God's name is blasphemed. So when they hear you saying all these different things, but when they see that you don't even, not only do you not love the ones that hate you, but you don't even love the ones that love you. What a lot of times what y'all think is love ain't nowhere close to it. Oh my God. You have no idea. Don't smiling and opening the door and that ain't nothing. All that go down the drain. Because the same lip that you kiss with be the same lip you curse with. You say something to somebody that's hurtful and angry, and it's something that leaves a scar on them. It's amazing how some words will leave a scar, and even some good words won't fix it. And you all caught up with all these things that you think is love. And really, all those things that you think is love is none of the above. That's why you lose. Because you're trying to do love like you think love goes. You know, the Lord told me the other day. You want me to tell you what he told me? Yes, y'all want me to tell y'all? Y'all want me to tell y'all? The Lord told me the other day, and we're going to get to the scripture in a minute. I wasn't planning this. The Lord told me, and I understand what it means now. The Lord told me the other day, he said, you can't pull your own trigger. Like, shoot the gun? He said, you can't pull your own trigger. He said, you're not big enough to do that. He said, the power in you, the power that you are, is too big for you to will on your own. The only person that knows how to maneuver and will and place and position and activate that power that you are, not that just that's in you, but that you are, is God. Now, imagine if you was a trigger, like your whole body right now, like your whole body. No. Y'all, can y'all use your imagination for a quick second? Huh? Yes, imagine that you were a trigger. So you know if you're the trigger, if the size of you, who you are, is a trigger, then you can imagine the size of the gun, right? Imagine if you were the trigger. Well, you couldn't pull yourself. You couldn't do it. You ain't got the power or the pressure to be able to pull yourself to shoot whatever needs to be shot. You don't have the power to pull your own trigger. So even when you're trying to love, you cannot love until you let God love through you. What is all this stuff that we're doing? Fake love. It looks like, but it don't have the power thereof. Having a form of, you know what that's really saying, right? You know the scripture, having a form of godliness, but not in the power thereof? Huh? Y'all want to get deep in this? God is what? Love. Uh-huh, so having a form of loveliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. We got all the other stuff together, though, man. I mean, we got the rhetoric. We got our ties on and stuff. That's cool. We're at school right now. I mean, we got all that down. You got all that down. You got it all working. But then I read this scripture, and I read this chapter, and it's one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible, and it doesn't take very long to read because the number of the chapters is the number of scriptures it's got. First Corinthians 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, when you see the word charity, it means love, I am become, oh Lord, as a Lord Jesus. Do y'all see, 1 Corinthians 13, y'all there? Verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, Lord. I mean, I sound like a man and an angel. Oh, now I get it when you say tongues of men. Now, when you say, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I repeat what they said. Though I say what they said and make some good utterances and make somebody feel good on the surface. And have not love. This is power. I am. You see the I am? Y'all see the I am? It says, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just. All right, y'all ready for this? What I just said? Anybody know? No? All right, let's see. What I just said? You don't recognize that, huh? You don't recognize no words in that, huh? You don't recognize no understanding, no direction, no deliverance. You don't know what's going on. All that sound like is a bunch of what? Noise. And that's what you sound like when you're saying these words, right? And speak, but you don't have no power. Yeah, I like power because it's love. Love is the power. This you. I don't care what church you're at. I don't care how many doctrines you got. I don't care what tag you put in front of your name. Y'all, we're going to witness. I'm going to witness to somebody. And the first thing you start telling somebody, they're going to hell if they don't get. How do you lead off with that? What is wrong with you? Hold on. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Because that's the first thing that we say. You know, you a sinner. What? Listen to me. Come talk to me. I thank God that I'm born again already, or that I already understand the conversation. Because and even though I understand the conversation, if you come and tell me some craziness like this, I'm going to tell you, better get up out of my face real quick. You come, and the first thing you start doing is insulting me. Sin is not a pretty thing. And you're going to lead off with that? You come in and say, hey, listen, you a sinner. And the conversation is over. Unless you keep on talking and make them feel some kind of pity party and all scare the hell out of them. Y'all know how we do that, huh? You don't want to burn forever, do you? Is it really about burning forever or not? Or is it about loving God? Because once again, if you're dodging the burn, that's just for you. Dodging the burn. That sounds like a good message. Like a good book and all that, dodging the burn. That's all you're doing, dodging the burn. You're witnessing this dodging the burn. You never learn to love. You're witnessing the way you start is by insulting someone. They don't know what you're talking about. Why don't we lead with love? Sometimes people, okay, well, I lead with love. I told them God loves them. You know God loves you. And then the next thing you say, but you know you're going to hell if you, come on, you just lost again. I'm not saying that that's not a real deal. But is that what you got to close? Like, they sell your car. And all right, come on, and tell me they sell your car. And they don't lead off with, you know it run out of gas at such and such time. You don't lead with that. We lead with all, come on. We do this in life and we don't even realize what we're doing. I don't know why when we get over to church stuff or we get over to things about the Bible, we get crazy, like we get stupid. We forget the normal thing. You know, some of y'all ladies put on makeup tonight. Why? Because you put your best foot forward. You come on, you don't come out, you don't when you're meeting people, you want to put your best foot forward. You don't say the stupid stuff first. You don't say the bad thing about your face. Well, you know, sometimes my breath be stinking when I eat garlic. You don't lead off like that. You go put gum in your mouth first and you say all the good stuff first. Why? Because you're trying to close the deal. We all know we got issues. So we ain't got, we know, all right, the moment that you go minister to somebody and witness somebody, you knew going into witnessing them that you ain't really much better than them. Ephesians 2 talk about it. Don't forget that not too long ago you was lost in the world without a God. So we already know that. So now we already know that, we don't need to lead off to them with that. Come on, why y'all got all dressed up and stuff? Y'all should have just came in here with your night clothes and all that. Why y'all did all that? You said somebody said the rules, regulations. I know. All right. Why you did it? Why would we do that? But then we witness and we just lose our mind. We done forgot everything about closing the deal. Huh? We done forgot everything about how we make it happen. And it's a trick. And though I have prophecy, they don't say the gift of prophecy, but sometimes when you see those italicized words, those are words added by King James to try to make you understand something better. But sometimes if you take them out, you'll understand better. And so it's the gift of, but it says, and though I have prophecy and understand how many mysteries? All mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, and so I can remove mountains and have not love, then look how powerful these last three words are. Boy, you connect the I am. Nothing. See how adamant this is? You see how important this is? See, y'all read the chapter before, huh? Come on. Have y'all read the chapter before?
Yes,
yeah, but you wasn't feeling like you're feeling now because you didn't slow down. Mm-hmm. So you said, oh, look, I done told y'all at the beginning of the message, y'all going to talk about love tonight, and all the love scriptures in your mind would have came up, and you'd have been like, oh, yeah, here we go. Yep, we right. We need love. Have you mastered it? If you haven't, that's the one you need to be on. This man, I am nothing. This man says, I can do all this stuff. Come on. I can do all these things. Well, I thought, hey, now here's why God got to pull your trigger. Here's why Romans 5:5 comes into play. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's already shed abroad in your heart. It's already there. You just got to let it release. Right? But this is why it comes in. This is why he's got to activate it. Because, shoot, I thought all that was love. Verse 2, I thought prophesying to somebody was loving them. Come on, y'all. I thought I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Come on. And understand all me. I thought knowledge and have faith and remove mountains. And I thought I was in the paint. I thought I really had the will of God going. And have not love, I'm nothing. Uh-oh, he take it up to another level. Y'all see verse 3? Y'all see verse 3? Come on, don't act like y'all don't see it to me right now, all right? Verse 3, and it says, though I bestow all my goods to feed, they added the poor. Y'all see italicized words? Is that italicized in y'all Bible? Yeah, okay, but though I give all my goods to feed. That makes a little bit more sense, huh? Because yeah. More than just poor people that's hungry. It's another conversation. And though I give my body to be burned, crucified with Christ. Now you think you're crucified with Christ because you didn't got burned. And have not love. What it does? It don't profit nothing. Ain't nobody gain nothing. Do you know, Jesus goes to that cross and do all those different things and get beaten, all the different things, but doesn't have love, the sacrifice is invalid? Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Y'all got to go back and listen to this because y'all, I don't know, we're going to pray in the spirit for we. It's not sinking in like it should, but it's fine. Y'all realize that the sacrifice from the beginning of his life until that moment is dead if he doesn't go up there with love. If he don't be that, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He don't be that. Then all the things that you've done not only profits you nothing, but don't profit nobody else. Because remember, you got to love your neighbor how? Like you love yourself. So if it ain't profiting you nothing, trust me, you ain't getting no profit. You can't profit nobody else. All those different things. And he's not even asking us to get stabbed in the side or beat with a whip. Thorns in the head. He ain't actually that. I love Ms. Lloyd's, as Rachel's grandmother. Rachel be complaining about stuff. She say her grandmother told her, shut up, it ain't worse than what Jesus went through. It really make you think. What's the last thing you complained about? I compare it to, all right. Don't it calm you down a little bit? Yeah, be like, oh, you know what? I can make it. I think I can make it. Right. You know, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and did what? Gave himself. And he says, I do not frustrate grace. Right? Because if righteousness comes by the law, then he's dead in vain. And this goes on to say that, right? But he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ. Now, he's not asking you to go get on no cross. That's why these people be walking down the street with the cross and be doing all. Nobody cares about that. Nobody asks you, go ahead, get up on that cross. Your blood can't do nothing for me. It is already finished. It's already done. So what are you doing? Put the cross down, go put some clothes on, and reenact that in 2017, please. So how do I reenact the crucifixion? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let this mind be also in Christ Jesus, who thought not robbery of God, made himself no reputation, humbled himself, he was a man, and he became obedient even to death. So I'm talking about that, right? Because he became obedient to death, right? He became obedient to death, all right? That's love. It takes love to be able to do that, because you're not going to do that just off of some instructions. God knew he could send Jesus, and Jesus was going to finish the plan. He knew he was going to send Jesus, and Jesus was going to finish the plan, right? Because he knew how much Jesus loved mankind, because he knew how much he loved mankind. He had already put the love. He put the love in you too? The only reason you don't realize it that much, and the only reason you don't operate in that much, because you have so many outside influences. You've been taught so many things since you've been a little boy, a little girl. You were taught about, man, you might have been taught about Jesus and God the wrong way. I was telling somebody the other day, man, when I do have children, I'm going to teach my children from jump that God loves them first. I'm going to teach them about righteousness first. I'm not going to teach them punishment first. Now, mind you, I understand what there's a hairy line between correction and fear. You have to be mindful. Right? Somebody was talking to me yesterday about a young little girl that had a picture. She was holding a python, a little baby girl. She just wasn't scared of it. She was holding it like it wasn't nothing. It would have been me. It would have been a wrap because I don't like snakes, right? But she just don't know. She don't know to be scared of it because nobody taught her to be scared of it. Now I need to teach her the truth that python will wrap you up and kill you, right? So I teach you to respect the power of the creation. Not fear it, but respect it. Understand what's going on. Many times we haven't been taught properly concerning this. That's why we act like we act. All that power on the inside of you, and it ain't coming out because you're crushing it, and you're weighing it down with all this stuff that you think. and you think you're right. I prove you ain't right because ain't nothing happening. We can sit down on that one and close the book. Huh? Okay, good. I was about to ask. Verse 4, love suffers long, and love suffers long kind. Love envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Now, you can find yourself in all that stuff. Thinks no evil. When last time you thought evil of somebody, I can't stand such and such. She's so mean. What that got to do with you? See, we got to get to the point where we can die for people. But you got to get to the point where you'll die for the one that won't die for you. Oh, that's some other stuff, y'all. I don't think y'all hear me. That's tough. I'm not even up here talking like I can say, well, I got it. No, we working on that one. You gotta dive in the one that don't even care that you're dying. Woo! Rejoice not in iniquities. Don't get excited when they fail. Cause they did you wrong. So now look at it. Look, see, I told you that was gonna happen to them. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether it be prophecy, they will fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, prophesy in part. But that which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then shall I even know also as I am known. And now about it, faith. All right, you got that one. Now about it, hope. Right there. And now about charity, love. These three. But the greatest of these is, and you cannot, I'm gonna say as I'm gone, you cannot, you gotta break down a little bit. You cannot pull the love trigger on your own. Love is different. Yeah, cool, keep opening doors for people and being nice. I'm putting out an umbrella for somebody and saying good morning and all that stuff that you thought was the stuff that you was walking in love. Keep doing that. It's when that person walked by you and called you something, are you still gonna open the door? They done treated you bad at the office. They done treated you like a dog. You knew they were talking to the boss about you. Can you go buy them lunch? Cheat code. I got to say this. Cheat code. You want to know cheat code? Cheat code. Lovers always win. Can't lose.